Well, greetings, grace, and peace from the Lord our God and Father. Appreciate you being here for episode 140 Days to Wholeness in Christ, a devotional journey. I'm your host, Paul Battine, and for at least the next 40 weeks, we'll be embarking on a journey to develop wholeness in Christ. What is that? We'll talk about it. All that God has for you, helping you find and live up to your God-given potential. And our guide to that will be the book, The Journey to Wholeness in Christ, is written by Signe Bodishbaan. Its accompanying journal. Now, we'll tell you how to order a copy of the book in just a little bit. Now, not only will we be following each section of the book together on this podcast, we'll be doing it with the author herself, and she's right here, right now. You ready for all this, Signe?
I'm so ready. It'll be fun.
All right. You thought you were just going to retire and go on the sunset?
We learned early on there's really no such thing as retirement in the kingdom. We think you get reassigned.
And reassigned you have been. And now we're moving into, 2024, and now we've got this podcast going. And so technology advances, and things just keep on going.
Hey, it just proves you can teach an old dog some new tricks.
You said it. I didn't. Now, I want to start today by laying a foundation for the book, The Journey to Wholeness in Christ. It was written back in 1997, reprinted four more times, also was printed in four different languages due to its popularity, and mostly what? Different languages like what? German?
German, Dutch, Czech. That's it.
Lots of them. And so was that just where you guys visited and that's people demanded it in that area?
Yeah, we'd ministered in those countries to lots of different mm-hmm. groups, and people who came and had God touch their lives said, we want this book in our own language. So publishers came to us and said, can we use this? And we're just glad everybody has access to it.
And we want to give more access, and that's the reason for the podcast, because this could go anywhere in the world at any time, and what a great way to communicate something that's so important as this.
Amen.
So with that, we want to obviously lay the foundation for the book, The Journey to Wholeness in Christ, which is basically the foundation of this podcast that you're going to be hearing over the next 40 weeks or so. It was, as I said, it was written in 1997. So Signe, why did you write the book?
Well, I never set out to be a writer at all. It mm-hmm. was not this latent desire to have my name in print or anything. But when we started pursuing our own journey to get whole, we would have small groups of people that we would share some of the principles that had changed our lives, and we would see God working in them. And over time, people would say to us when they'd finish a series, a weekend or something we would do with a group of people, they'd say, do you have a book that we could take home with us, that we could keep on with what you've been teaching us, that would be a reminder, that it would help us? And we looked and looked and looked, and you could find snippets of this and that, but there was just always something missing, we felt. So I just started crying out to God, Lord, put in my hands a book like they're crying out for. Help us to use this as a resource. And you know what happens when you start praying something like that? God spoke to my heart, and he said, you write the book. Oh, you know, no, not me. I'm not a writer. And he says, I'm going to teach you how. Well, it was an interesting journey just getting it on paper, for one thing.
So it's like the story of Moses or Gideon. Not me, Lord. Yeah. No, not worthy. Yeah. Can't do it. Never written anything. And then did it just kind of flow out, or was it work putting it all together?
It was work. I'm a conversational writer. I tend to put in print the way I think, the way I would talk to you if we were sitting across the table from each other, like we are right now. So I started doing that, but it was a jumble. It was here, there, everywhere. And I was so, I call myself a techno peasant, because I most of the time don't know what I'm doing with electronic equipment. And it was my first computer ever. I was trying to teach myself. And anyway, the long story short is that the whole thing disappeared. When I thought I about had it all in one format, I just lost it.
What do you mean lost it?
It's gone. I guess it's floating around in cyberspace somewhere.
Oh, so you were writing it
on
a computer.
Yeah.
Everything was there.
Yeah.
How far along were you at that point?
Well, I thought I was through.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was an oh, wow. It was gone.
I think it was more than an oh, wow. It's like, what in the world?
And I called in people that I considered to be experts, and they tried and tried, and they said, we just can't recover it. So I have no idea what I did. And after I kind of cried and moaned and complained and carried on, I started listening to God, and I realized it was a blessing. It would have never gotten in print if we'd gone with what I had. He began then to tell me how to lay this out over 40 days, how to divide it into subjects that would make sense to somebody who didn't know anything about this when they started reading it. It was so much better when I listened to him instead of doing what I thought was right in my own eyes, my own head. And so it took probably 2 or 3 years to finally get it where I felt comfortable and that it was pleasing to him.
That's amazing. Beauty for ashes, huh? I mean,
absolutely.
Or somewhere in cyberspace still floating around, but
I don't even want to see it. I hope it's gone.
Gone for good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're talking about the book, and you're to understand, if you don't have a copy yourself, on how the 40 days fits into everything we're doing here. You can order a copy of Cigna's book and the journal that goes along with it by going to CignaBodishBall.com. Now, I know that's not an easy name to spell. I'll try it right here. Cigna is sounds like S-I-G-N-A. Cigna sounds like it, like you say, a Bodishbaugh, BODISHBAUGH.com. And now also you could just go to the podcast cover and we'll have it spelled out for you there as well. So you know exactly where to go, and you can message Cigna on that and find her on Facebook as well. So I'm sure that's always been a challenge. How do you spell your name?
You know, I taught my 3 sons how to spell their name when they were really little, and they could spell Bodishbaugh before their friends who were named Jones and Scott could spell their name. And here's how we did it. I was so ahead of my time. You'd be so proud of me, Paul. I taught them to rap, and I'd never even heard of rap before then. But we'd go BODISHBAUGH. And what they would do this all day, it would just, and the neighborhood kids would come in and do it with them. So all kids in the neighborhood could spell Bodishbaugh.
That's brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, a little cheerily, a little rap there. Way ahead of your time.
Way ahead.
So the 40-day journey to wholeness, and we talked about this earlier before we started recording today, and that, you know, we understand the word wholeness, you know, in our limited vocabulary in English, and but obviously, you know, wholeness being that, you know, you want all parts working. This is how I'm just speaking for myself right now. You want to be hitting on all pistons. You don't want anything missing. So when you're talking wholeness, as you were writing this book, you know, how do you see it? What goes through your mind?
I think we all, first of all, think about our own situation. Where do I need to be whole? What is it that's missing in my life? What's askew? What just has to be changed? But I want to present the word wholeness in a biblical sense, the way God says he wants us to be whole, and he does want us to be whole. So I started looking at the 2 words primarily in the Bible, in Hebrew, rapha, in Greek, sozo. And those 2 words have the same meaning describing wholeness. One's used in the Old Testament, one's used in the New Testament. They both mean an inclusion of being healed, being prepared for perfection, being made perfect in every way, mature in every way. It is a wide spectrum of what God wants for us. So the word for rapha, I think you're aware that God is known as Yahweh Rapha. That's his name, the God who heals. And the word in Greek, sozo, also include being saved from that which would destroy us. So when we talk about when we were saved, we were being made whole. This was the initial step on our journey to wholeness when we got saved. Or if you haven't been there yet, it's what's coming up for you. You have this ahead, the most wonderful experience of your lifetime, but it's the first step. When we talk about this word, you don't pick and choose one of those definitions and put it in a proper context. In Hebrew, for example, one word, rapha, can mean all of that all at the same time. At the same time, God wants your soul to be saved, your body to be healed, your mind to be transformed. He wants you to start to look at everything around you with a God consciousness, whereas most of us have the problem of looking at everything with an ego consciousness. So this is a much wider concept of wholeness than most of us start off with.
You know, and it seems like, particularly in America and modern churches, and I'm not trying to bash anything here, but, you know, the goal is to get saved. And, okay, I'm saved, I'm done. And then, but the problem also then with that is, unless you go beyond that in your relationship to God, you pretty much have a worldly viewpoint, but yeah, your soul is saved. And I hear people a lot of going around saying, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that's not inaccurate, but God has so much more. And that's what this is really all about. There's so much more for you. And in this 40 days or 40 weeks by as this podcast rolls out, that's it. That's the journey to get what God wants for you, which is a whole lot more than just praying to Him and receiving salvation. That is the very beginning, but we want wholeness in every part of our life.
I don't think we can even comprehend how much more there is out there. Conley and I have been accused over as long as we've been in ministry of people saying, why are you all ever satisfied? You're always looking for something more. Why don't you just enjoy what you have right now?
Why don't you just retire, right?
Well, that's part of it too. But you know, once you get a taste of what God has, He opens up your imagination to see things you would have never dreamed about in your whole lifetime, things that are possible. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how limited you might be physically or mentally or even emotionally. He has things ready for you as soon as you say, yes, I want to go for it all the way.
And we haven't mentioned up to now, but you heard the word Conley. Conley is Signe's husband. They've been married forever and a day. We'll get into that here in just a second. But obviously, this is a 40-day journey. So by the end of this journey, the end of this podcast that people are going to embark on, what impact do you hope that this will make? What change are you hoping? What do you foresee for people who want to go on this journey?
I've had people tell me that when they've gone through this with us, either in a week-long conference, a weekend conference, or by reading the book, that it's like they're given a toolkit, that they're given some tools to use in their everyday life that are so practical and they're so effective that it makes a huge difference in how they live their life, how they can deal with adversities of life. And it's like they've learned to pull out the appropriate tool at the appropriate time and apply it the way God intended it to be applied. I mean, it's as simple as that. I want to give you a toolkit. Because one was given to me, and I want to share it. It's the most important gift I was ever given outside of salvation.
I love toolkits. You can't fix what's broken without a tool, right?
Well, that's what my husband says.
Now, we're going to get more into the details of the book on our next podcast. It also gives time to order a copy of the book and the journal as well and follow along with us. That's the goal. We want you following along with us. And it's okay if you get ahead of us because the goal for Signe and I is to give you nuggets as you go along each chapter, each section of the book. That's the purpose of it all, that by the end of that period, whether it be weeks or days, by the end of the 40 days in the book, that there will be transformation. It has to happen if you follow along. Did for me, it has for thousands of others. And you can do that by going to signebodishbaugh.com. Again, that could be challenging to spell. Give us that cheer one more time, Signe, if you would.
BODISHBAUGH.
All righty.
Got it.
All right. Now, on that website, you'll also see several other books that Signe has published as well. She's also working on a novel, by the way. That's kind of cool.
It is so cool, and I'm loving it. I just pray I'll get the right publisher to get it out there in your hands because it's a great novel. I like mystery. I like suspense, and I love interesting, unforgettable characters, and I think this novel has all that. You want to hear the name of it?
Yeah.
You'll like it. The God Document.
The God Document. It sounds like conspiracy and
it is.
Things going on Full and mystery.
It. Full of it, yeah.
I want to hear more about that at the time. That's cool. And today, though, we want our listeners to become more acquainted with you, okay? And that means it's testimony time, all right? So you and your husband, Conley, and introduced him earlier. You're from Arkansas. You went into the ministry rather late in life. So tell us just the story of Signe and Conley.
Oh, wow. Where
do you begin, right?
Yeah. Conley was a mechanical contractor in Fayetteville, Arkansas, owned his own business. We had three young children, young boys. I thought life was good, but, you know, God had other plans for us. He introduced himself to us in the most remarkable way that I'd love to tell you about at some point. Probably this isn't the best time to do that right now. But when he did, our lives just totally changed. And the story of how Conley was called into ministry was quite remarkable as well. We were in our 40s, and it was the last thing in the world we ever thought we'd be doing. But when God speaks into your life, he can make the thing you never even thought would be attractive to you to be irresistible. It was all we wanted to do once we knew that was his will for us. So we packed up everything. We had two sons in college. We had one in grade school. He sold his business. We moved to Sewanee, Tennessee to go to seminary for 3 years and came out in the ministry. And first church was Conley went in as an assistant in El Dorado, Arkansas. We were there a year, and then he got called to a big old downtown church in Mobile, Alabama. And he pastored there for the next 25 years in one church. And then he retired, or we got reassigned.
Reassigned, Ryan. We'll get into that here in a second. I mentioned some family members and friends thought you had all lost your minds at 40-something years old. Just, okay, time to go into the ministry. Do what?
I remember one of Conley's friends told him that he thought it took so much courage to sell his business and do this crazy thing of going into the ministry. And Conley just looked at him. He said, oh, no, that didn't take courage. The thing that would have been terrifying and so hard to do would be to ignore God's word and just stay with the security that I'd built up. He said, I just knew I couldn't live like that.
So you were pastoring a church more than 25 years in Mobile, Alabama, but then you started these conferences that went global. So how did that happen? Did that come out of that? Where was that in sort of the timeline of all this?
Well, when we first got into the ministry in Mobile, we started having small groups of people come for like a Friday night or a Saturday night at the church. And we would just share with them many of the things that we had learned as we got to know Jesus and were learning how to be whole ourselves. And we thought, you know, the first time we ever did this, we thought we would be thrilled to death if 10 people came on a Friday night. And I remember they just filled up the parish hall. And people afterwards had testimonies. God had touched them. God was changing their lives. And they were encouraging us to do this more often. So we thought, well, this is exciting. We can do this. We're just talking. We're just telling our story. And then we let other people come and give their testimonies. And it just grew until finally we had a prayer team who traveled with us. And we started getting invited to go to different churches, different venues. And then eventually to Europe and Scandinavia and Middle East. And it just, no one was more surprised at how this mushroomed than we were, except when God wants to get word out of what he does and how well he does it, he'll use whatever means possible. And we were the least likely couple to be doing this, I'm going to tell you.
Least likely couple at that age as well.
Well, at any age. We just never dreamed of doing such a thing.
God has a plan, right?
Yeah.
Now, were you also in Africa at a time? Did you do conferences there?
We did, in Rwanda.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a hotbed of a place to be, huh?
We were in Rwanda on the 10th anniversary of the genocide. And it was still just rife with the residue of such an atrocious event in history. And all we had to offer seemed puny in light of the incredible conditions these people were living in, emotionally, spiritually. But we just went and we just shared with them many of the principles that are in this book of confessing sin, receiving forgiveness, forgiving your enemies, praying for your beloved enemies. It seemed like simple things, but when people are encouraged to do what God says to do, we saw miracles of restoration. I'd love to tell you some of those stories at some point.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot about them here over the next 40 days and 40 weeks of the podcast. Now, take me in. If I went to one of these conferences, and I'm sure they're all a little bit different, but they follow a similar pattern, but what were they like? What was it, if I was sitting there, what would it be like?
Well, we're not doing them anymore the way we used to, but we would have sort of a format that began with worship, real worship, where you get involved. I'm not talking about singing good songs. I'm talking about lifting your voice and connecting with the God who created you and the God who wants you whole more than you want to take your next breath. And that's what we would encourage people to connect with Him, with His presence. And so for us, having a worship leader who could lead us in what we call vertical worship, where we're singing our adorations to Him rather than connecting with people in a horizontal level. And that was vital, and that was premier. We would always begin with talking about how to be intimate with Jesus, how to achieve intimacy with God, knowing the Father's love. We always backed up anything we taught or had testimony about with prayer, with application. And we learned early on that it would take an inordinate amount of time to pray one-on-one with each person. But God showed us how to pray specific personal prayers with a whole group, where He would minister to each person as though it was just the two of them. To me, that was revolutionary. I'd never been in a group where you could do that and have it be so effective. But we just learned to listen to what He guided us to do, and we did it. And we had, as I said, we had developed a prayer team. We had between, I'd say, 12 to 20 people on our team who would travel with us at any given time, who could take one-on-one prayer appointments with people. But the majority of the healing went on in the groups. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. If you don't feel singled out and feel like attention is on you, and you can just sit there in quiet communion with the Lord, it's amazing how deeply He can impart His healing Holy Spirit to your soul. And people found it very easy to receive.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I've been hearing about this as well, and that's something I think we don't do enough of. It's just, and your book hits on it time and time again, and that's just being quiet before the Lord. You know, there's always music going, and then particularly in the modern day churches, you go from music, you know, then you have the announcements, then you have the sermon, and then you're out the door.
Yeah.
And even in your private time, you're being filled with information, driving in the car, but sometimes God wants us just to be quiet.
It's really difficult. I wrote a book about this called Divine Conversations, and I said it's how to hear God's voice over all this, the other voices vying for your attention, and it's hearing Him in a loud and noisy world. And I think it's an art form, but we can learn it.
Amen to that. And now on a personal note, getting back, we could learn a little bit more about you. Now, you also love cooking. I know I've been to the benefit of that. And you have some artistic talents as well. I know you're a homemaker for a very long time before you, and you had your own business as well for a time before you went into the ministry?
Only thing I did was a quilting business. It's called Signa Designs. And I made wearable quilts, hand-quilted jackets. I did that while Conley was in seminary. And when he first went into the ministry, I worked for a caterer in Mobile, and that was an experience. My only qualification was, I love to give dinner parties. I like hospitality. I just like to cook for people and entertain, and got a job doing that. So that was an interesting experience as well. And the owner of the business became my dearest friend, and she and I shared so many Jesus adventures together, and It was quite a time. I think I did that for about 6 years.
And what are some of your favorite dishes to whip up?
Oh, listen, I'm the worst telling you that because
come on.
My children always say, if mom cooks something and you really like it, enjoy it in the moment because you'll never see it again. And the reason why is because I love to do new things. And to me, it's a challenge to try something I've never done before, maybe use a piece of culinary equipment I've never done before. But then I keep wanting to do that. So it's not like we have this tried and true recipe that the kids always get when they come home. That's just one of my faults. I just like to keep trying. I think it carried over in the spiritual realm, though. I want something new from God every day. And I believe He has something new for me every day.
And us every day as well. We're going to be talking about that. And speaking of new, you also have another podcast going called Yellow Sofa, an interesting title there. So what's that about?
Can you believe this? Two podcasts at my age.
You're a busy, busy woman there.
Sarah. Well, it's fun. And I have to confess, I wasn't even a podcast listener till this all came about. But Yellow Sofa came about because a dear friend of ours just kept asking us over and over and over to tell stories about miracles in the ministry over the years we'd been ministering to people. And he and his wife would come and sit in front of the fire and we would have enjoyed a meal and he'd tell us stories. And so we would do that and it was fun. And he kept saying, you need to write a book about this. And I said, no, I've already written some books and I want to write a novel. I don't want to write that. And finally he said, I know. We need to do a podcast about this. So he sort of got it started and had the energy and the enthusiasm to kind of get me excited about it. Why it's called Yellow Sofa is very interesting. And I'm not going to spill the beans on that. I think if you're interested, look at the podcast Yellow Sofa. And the first episode tells you how it was named and how it came about.
Nice teaser there. So Yellow Sofa, you could find it Apple,
Spotify
as well. So look it up, Yellow Sofa, Signa Badashba there as well. We all have mentors in our lives. My stepdad was one of mine. There were several others. But you talk about a woman by the name of Leanne Payne. So how did you become acquainted and how did this really set the stage for the 40-day journey we're about to embark on?
We were churchgoers. Now, I don't mean I was committed to a life with Christ as my Lord and Savior. We were churchgoers. And we went to an adult Sunday school class. And she came in as a guest teacher to teach Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. I'd never read the book. And to be honest, it's not my favorite C.S. Lewis book to this day. I think it's difficult. And most of the time, I didn't even know what we were reading. And they had this large group. We're in a university town, you know, so we had lots of pseudo-intellectuals as well as a few real intellectuals, but they all like to pontificate and talk a lot. And the conversation was sort of over my head. The book was way over my head. But this woman teaching it, Leanne Payne, had something about her I had never seen in another person in my life. She had a peace, even though I knew she was she was in her late 30s at the time, and I knew she was sort of destitute. She was living with an older couple for room and board while she got her master's at the university. She drove a car that shouldn't have even been running. It was so pitiful. She didn't have anything the world offered that we thought was admirable, but there was a quality in her life I had never seen before. And we were intrigued, but she kind of scared me because she seemed too good to be true. And I didn't want to get to know her real well because what if she was too good to be true? And then my illusion would just poof, it'd be gone. But anyway, we invited her to come to our house one Sunday night. And we invited the whole Sunday school class. And we wanted her to explain to us a little bit about what it was in her life that was so intriguing and yet so nebulous to us. So that's the story I'll tell you next time.
Leanne Payne, and she's still with us?
No, bless her heart. She's not. She passed about 5 years ago. And she had the most remarkable ministry that really began in a similar way to ours, is that she just one-on-one would tell people about things God had done in her life as she pursued wholeness. And then that one-on-one grew into small groups and large groups until she held very large conferences. Conley and I had the privilege of traveling with her for many, many years as part of her prayer team and as her dear friend. And we went all over the world with her.
Friendship, and I know she's still listening, even though she's no longer with us.
She left quite a legacy to many, many people.
And that's, and you hear details, and I want you to point out as we go through this 40-day journey, you know, things, nuggets that you had received from Leanne. I'm sure we're all interested in that. And part of this journey, too, is something that, I'll be honest, I've never done before, and that is you want people to journal, not just read the book, not just have the thoughts, not just say the prayers, but to journal. And this is, again, something I've never did until I read the book myself. Why is journaling so important?
It's one of those tools you can pull out of your little kit because it helps us hear God's voice and it helps us to trust the impressions He gives us. The reason why is because we talked about living in a loud and noisy world. We have so many distractions in our lives. God can impart a nugget of wisdom or an impression or a picture or a dream or there's an infinite number of ways in which He can speak to our hearts. But when He does, and we think, oh, this is so powerful, I'm gonna put my weight down on this. I'm gonna remember this. This is so important. And life gets in the way and we forget. Learning to jot things down, to journal, is just so helpful in learning to recognize what's God's voice, what's the voice coming from our own flesh or our own woundedness, our own pain, our own sin, and what's the voice of the world that everybody is just trying to bombard us with this, this, and this. You must do this. This is who you are. You know, everybody out there wants to tell us who we ought to be, but who is the person who ultimately can tell us who we are, and that's God. And until we listen to what He says and who He says we are, we're not ever going to be content. And then also, we have to admit, there's the voice of the devil, evil, who wants to pull us away from any connection that's holy. Trying to discern that in our own strength and energy and our own mental capacity is just impossible. We need to learn to recognize what's God. You talked about my mentor, Leanne Payne. It was one of the first things she taught us to do. Every time we would get with her, which was daily in those first early days, she would say, "What did God say to you today?" I'm thinking, "Oh, I don't know. How am I supposed to know?" And she said, "Well, you have to listen. Are you listening? What did He say to you today?" Well, I would begin to feel a little guilty knowing she was going to ask me. So I'd start listening just so I'd have something to share with her. And her next thing she'd say was, "Be sure you write it down in your listening prayer journal." I had no idea what a listening prayer journal was. I'd never heard of one. I had a to-do list. I had a diary. I wrote down all my children's schedules and my appointments and things like that. She said, "A listening prayer journal is where you jot down the prayers, you cry out of your deep heart to God, and then you spend an equal amount of time listening to how He responds to you." And she says, "He might not speak to you in words like you gave Him. It might be an impression, a picture, a symbol. Or you might have a dream that night when you think He didn't speak at all, and then you have this vivid dream. Write it down." And a lot of times, I would do that. I wouldn't even understand what I'd written down. But she'd encourage me, just don't try to interpret it. Don't try to analyze it. Just do it. And then you can go back later and it can begin to make sense. He'll make sense out of what seems senseless. This is our God. He can take our jumbled thoughts, our jumbled impressions, and He can make something so beautiful out of them that it's life-changing.
This is a lifelong question for a lot of people. And, you know, hearing the voice of God is something that people yearn for and desire for. And there's always those questions. Matter of fact, I was talking to my son about it. I was like, "Go pray about it and see what God tells you." And he's like, "I didn't hear anything." And so we need to train ourselves to hear God's voice, because again, he could speak in different ways. It's up to him, not to us. He wants to talk. But to your point, dreams, sometimes audible, sometimes that's still quiet. But how do we know? How do we begin to discern? Because we got to develop this to really know this is God speaking here.
When you first start listening, you're going to make mistakes. We all do. So don't go acting foolishly on the first thing you think you hear. Because like you say, we all yearn to hear God's voice, and yet there's a part in all of us that also is terrified of hearing God's voice. What if he says, what if he tells me to do something that I don't want to do? What if he says something horrible to me? What if he knows these deep recesses in my heart? I don't want anybody to know. We literally had a man at a conference one time who told us he was so scared to hear God's voice that he put up barriers. And we said, well, what do you think God's going to tell you that's so terrifying? He said, I'm afraid he's going to tell me to chop off both my hands. You know, this man who was with me when he said that, he says, well, you couldn't really do that. You could only chop off one of them. You just had to laugh, you know. But we said, would you test God and trust him enough to listen to what he says to you tonight? And when we see you in the morning at the conference, tell us what he says. Well, he was waiting for our little bus load of our team to get there. And he came running out, shaking both hands. And he says, I still have my hands. I still have my hands. He didn't tell me to do it. Now, that's ridiculous, but it's true.
It's true.
But a lot of times we learn to listen by first becoming intimate and knowing who God is. Like this man, how can you listen to someone you don't even trust, thinking they're going to harm you? Where he got this kind of impression, I don't know. But that's another thing. God will show us where we get those reservations, where it's so difficult, where maybe we had a parent who was so overbearing and so unaffirming and so negative. We've just transposed all those qualities onto a Father God. And we have to learn the character of God. So that's why we always start with intimacy with God. Let's know who he is first. Then we can learn to hear his voice and trust what he says.
And that leads to wholeness, which is the point of everything that we're doing here with 40 Days of Wholeness to Christ. Thanks for joining us and embarking on this devotional journey. This is just episode one. We got a long road here. Now, remember, you can order a copy of Cigna's book and the journal that goes along with it by going to cignabadishpod.com. There you can also message us and find her on Facebook as well. Now, if you find this podcast benefits you, here's what we want you to do. Share it with your friends and family as well. Have them go on the journey with you. The whole point here is we're on this journey together. And this is a journey that God wants us to take. In our next podcast, we're going to start diving into the book to better prepare you for this 40-day journey. It's like nothing you've ever done before, I promise you, because I've done it. So let's go deeper with God. Let's become the person he designed us to be. The 40-day journey is a game changer, and it's a life changer. For Cigna Bodishpa, I'm Paul Petit on the journey to wholeness together.